Please turn with me this morning to our scripture, Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. It'll be behind me on the screen in the English Standard Version. We've been walking through the book of Ephesians, and over the first three chapters, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, everything that He has done, everything that God planned, and the benefit that we gain. And last week, we heard the call to unity and the things that it takes for us to be united in Christ. And so today we will continue this understanding of unity and how God has enabled us to be united. Beginning in verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men. In saying He ascended, what does it mean but that He had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Gracious Father, as we gather today, I pray that the hearts of the men and women and children that have gathered here, Father, are hearts that are here to worship in spirit and in truth, that, Father, they have prepared themselves to be actively engaged in the worship of their Heavenly Father and of their Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that the Spirit, as we are here today, will move mightily, Father, to open the eyes of our hearts, to draw us deeper into the knowledge of Jesus and into a deeper obedience to His commands. I pray that each gift, that precious grace that You have placed in the hearts of each and every believer, Father, would come to fruition today, would be used and sought after so that the corporate body of Christ could be built up and You be glorified in it. Speak now, Father, as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. There is no time to be caught up in trivial things when you are devoted to the mission of the church and the purpose for which Christ came, to seek and save the lost. In that, there is no time for trivial things. It is an all-consuming mission. It is why Christ would call us to be salt and light. It is why Paul would exhort us that everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it all to the glory of God. It is because our life is to be lived on mission. And we're here today as believers to build this church. And when I say church, I don't mean just Harmony Baptist. I mean the global church, the corporate body of Christ. We're here to build that. God has chosen you. Each and every believer has been chosen, every faithful follower of Christ, to be His representative on earth. We are His children. The legacy that He is manifesting in this world, walking in the Spirit of God, we are to work for the building of the church through evangelism and discipleship. And if we as the body of Christ will indeed follow the commands of our Lord and Savior, we will make a difference in the culture around us. Right now in our world, there are millions of people screaming for changes to be made. Millions screaming about the injustices of the world. Back the blue, they scream. Black Lives Matter, they scream. Abortion is wrong, they scream. All of which are true, but screaming about them does nothing. It does nothing. So many people scream and fuss and do nothing. Lashing out in anger does nothing. Sitting at home typing on a keyboard does nothing. And we are called to more than that. Your life is to be a human being, a follower of Christ that is active in seeking out truth and justice, in being the light, not in simply existing. We're called to use the gifts that God has given to each and every one of us to build the church in unity and maturity so that the church as a whole can impact the world. Now, I believe if we look at world history, the church is at the forefront of justice and righteousness, because apart from God, those things do not exist. And so we have to be at the forefront of this as His followers, seeking justice and seeking to do what is right. And I don't pretend to believe that a church that does this will rid the world of men's evil. We won't change every heart. We won't end racism or hatred or lawlessness. But I do believe that a church that builds itself up with the gifts that God has given will make much more of a difference in our world than the church in America does right now. We are weak. And we have been empowered to be strong. If you are a professing believer in Jesus, will you raise your hand? Just keep it up for just a minute. You look around the room and see the hands up. This call to build up the church, the global church, is the responsibility of everyone with their hands raised. Young and old, tall and short, male and female, everyone that is called on the name of Jesus for salvation, everyone that is now a child of God must work to build this church and build it so that it is worthy to be called the body of Christ. And this is not a light responsibility. We should take this very seriously. For one, Jesus looked at you. He looked at you when He brought you to salvation, and He gave you a gift to use to build up this body, to build up the corporate church. He didn't give anyone else your specific gift. In your personality, in your spheres of influence, your gift is yours. And He gave it to you to use for this purpose. You read verses 7 and 8 with me. It says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," it says, "when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men." Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, and we believers now, that Jesus has graced each of us with a gift or gifts, and it is our personal responsibility to use our gifts to build up the church. When he says grace was given to each one of us, Paul uses this Greek word for grace. Charis, meaning, is where we get the word charisma. And it means a token or a gift that displays the reality of the grace of God that brought salvation. Each and every believer is given this gift. It's where we get the term charismatic, and that defines a certain portion of Christianity, is how that word is most often used. But the way Paul explains it here, we are all charismatic. We are all recipients of gifts of grace. No believer, because of this truth, because of what Jesus does with this gift, no believer should ever feel unimportant or without purpose. Each one of us has a gift that's given to in accordance to the measure of Christ's gift. Paul's saying that every believer receives this gift, and the gift that that believer receives from Jesus is the divine intention of the Holy God. You didn't get this gift by accident. You didn't stumble upon it. Jesus gave it to you. He gave it to you to use for His glory. And I want to give you a list of gifts. The purpose of this sermon is not to be exhaustive on this, but I just want you to see a list of these, and there's a QR code that'll be on the screen that'll take you to a spiritual gifts inventory. But some of the grace gifts for a modern church are prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, administration, and mercy. And there are a list of these that vary, but these gifts are given by Jesus to his followers to edify or build up the body, to strengthen the church. And I think Paul has to write this because I think the church at Ephesus faced the very same dilemma that the church in America now faces, is that a lot of people in that church, a lot of people in our church, have not opened that gift. It sits unused and dormant in that believer's life. Though given by Christ, it remains unwrapped in the hearts of his people. And so ask yourself right now, do you know what your gift is? Do you know the gift that God has given you to use for building up his body? If you don't, why not? And if you do, are you using it? That is your purpose here on earth. And I want you to understand that this gift should be more precious to you than any other gift that you've ever been given aside from salvation. Because this gift is from Jesus, the author and sustainer of our salvation. And Paul wants us to feel the weight of the fact that Jesus gave us these gifts. In verses 8 through 10, he writes, "Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things." Your gift is not a pair of socks or a tie on Father's Day. It is a supernatural gift from the incarnate Christ. God in flesh, the Son of God, who descended from heaven to come and die for our sins, taking the wrath of God on the cross that was intended for you. That Jesus, who while he was in the tomb, descended into the lower regions of the earth, into Abraham's bosom, where all those of faith, all those that died before Jesus, were waiting for him to come and preach the good news. There he told them, "I am here, your Messiah." And then he said, "Come and go with me," as he rose from the dead and then ascended into heaven, taking those faithful with him. That conquering king looked at you and said, "Of all that I have, here is your gift. Here is your gift." That is the preciousness that has been given to you. And it is not to be taken lightly. It is not to be put on a shelf. It is to be used to build the body of Christ, because this is your team. Everybody say team.
Team.
Team. This is our team. Everybody say, there's no I in team.
There's no I in team.
But there's a me. There is a me. And what I think that means, other than just being a sarcastic response to that from teenagers, what I think that means is that each of us have a personal responsibility to do our part for the team. Each of us has a responsibility to use our gifts in order that the team can succeed. And in our individualistic society, we don't do that. Like, I got a gift, I'm going to use it for me. If I have something that God's given me, I'm going to use it so I can get something out of it. That is not what God is calling us to. Good teams use their gifts for the greater good, for the good of the whole. Football teams are not just one or two guys. They may have one or two that are super talented, but they exist of many players. The NCAA team will have 125 players. And it takes every one of them, whether they start or not, doing everything they can every day to make that team successful. When the Clemson Tigers win, it's because they have a culture that's built around the greater good. Their mantra is all in. We won't talk about the Gamecocks. I feel sorry for them. I pull for them, but it's bad. But that's what it takes. That's why it's part of the vision at Harmony Baptist Church. It's we say we exist to make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. All people, all places, all glory, all in. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to be a church that glorifies God. A church that's obedient to build itself up. Every part, every member working together, using their different gifts for the good of the whole. We're not all right hands. We're not all thumbs. We're not all toes. We're not all legs. If we were, we would never get anywhere. We use our different gifts together for the good. And we need someone guiding this. And just as Dabo is a gift to the Clemson Tigers, he's developed that culture over time. God gifts the church its leaders. Paul writes, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The gave there is graced or gifted. He gifted the church with these leaders. These leaders of the church are gifts from Jesus to equip the church to serve and develop each other until we all are all mature and unified. We need these leaders. And there are four offices that he speaks of there: apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teaching shepherds. And the offices of apostle and prophet have ceased in the day-to-day of the modern church. Nobody has been divinely selected by God to be his apostle, as happened with the 12. And the prophet no longer has to speak new revelation of God's word. We have the Holy Bible. The canon is closed. This is all we need. We don't need a new revelation. We know all we need to live a life that glorifies God. And we do, however, have evangelists and teaching shepherds that guide the church today. Evangelists are literally those that bring good tidings. They bring the good news of Jesus. And these men in the church are usually focused on taking the gospel to unbelievers. They're focused on teaching those within the church how to share the gospel. And so you see men like Jeff Bolton who grab a hold of young men and say, "Here's how you share the gospel." And he walks with them through that, and he shares the gospel with everybody that he meets. We need men like that. And teaching shepherds, these are the pastors today. And this office is combined, as you see it saying, shepherds and teachers. It's teaching pastors, teaching shepherds, because of the grammatical structure. It's the same word there. And this leader in the church teaches the word of God and leads and cares for the flock. And teachers and teaching pastors and evangelists are gifted by God to the church to equip the saints. And I am sorry that your gift looks like this. But Paul said it, not me. And I am thankful for the men that God has put here as leaders, for T.J. Austin and Ben Wynn and W.J. and all the godly men that God has gifted us with. Those that press us forward in the mission of Christ. We cannot do it without them. And their job and my job as leaders is to equip. And equip here has a couple of meanings that are important. It's a Greek word, katartizo, which means to fix or put in order. And it seems kind of strange on the front end to think that if God gave us something, we'd need to be equipped with it, right? That we would need a user's guide. We'd need somebody to coach us and show us the ropes, but it's supernatural. It should just come naturally, right? But the problem is that God gives these gifts to us as soon as we are saved and still learning to walk the Christian walk. And so he gifts us with leaders to help us get our gifts working correctly and put them in order by helping us see where our gifts should be put into service or ministry. See, we're covered in sin at the beginning. It's diminished and we've taken off that old flesh, but those habits are still there. And as we learn to walk in faith, as we have these leaders show us how to walk and come alongside us, we begin to free ourselves and we begin to hone that gift, to see the beauty of that gift to then put into use. And that's why we put out surveys in our bulletins with the ministries that you can serve in. And it's why we keep expanding our in-church ministries, our men's ministry, our small group ministry, so that you can find a place to use your gift. You're here on purpose. You didn't just stumble here. It's not accidental that you came to whatever church you're a part of. God has you here on purpose for a purpose. To build up the body. And build up the body, Paul means by build up the body is that we will use our individual gifts for the corporate good, with the end result being that all individuals in the church become united in faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become a body that is fit to belong to Jesus. I said earlier that the American church is a weak church. If that is true, does it belong to the head? Is it fit for Jesus if it is weak? Absolutely not. We are to build it up. We are to use our gifts to do that. It means that each individual Christian within the body should come to a mature faith and knowledge of God. That not only do you experience God, but that you intimately and thoroughly know God through His Word. That's the beautiful doctrines that define what we believe about Jesus in this Word and what we believe about the world around us. It's not just that you experience God. You have to learn about Him. And it's important that we get to this place as believers, that we grow to maturity in our knowledge of God, because the world hates the truth of God. The world hates it. Where God's Word says something is sin, the world says it should be celebrated. The world tells us that gluttony is good, that greed is good, that sex is for pleasure, that we determine our future, that we are our own God. But the Bible says that sin is rebellion against a holy God, and unforgiven will lead to an eternity of wrath. We must build one another to maturity, not to be swayed by this world, not to be moved by the shifting tides of what's popular in culture. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul writes, "Be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." Church, that's what we got to do. Fathers, as you're here today, we have to be strong. We have to act like men. Not chasing whatever passion we have for worldly things. Set firmly on the Word of God, pursuing His will for our lives. That is what we are called to do. Does that sound like you? Is that how you live your life? Because Paul tells us that we need to be fully mature. We don't need to be like children. Children are really easy to fool, right? Like every child of mine, before they were four, I would reach up and I would grab their nose and I would put my finger between there and I'd be like, "I got your nose." And they would think their nose is gone. Like, children are gullible. We cannot be like that. Paul does not want us to be like children. But if we're left alone, without the body of Christ, without those around us building us up, that's what we'll be. He writes in verse 14, "So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." How many people do you know that live their life like that? That day to day, their life is either good or bad based on what's going on in that moment. How exhausting is that life? That you're crashing, from wave to wave of whatever's going on in your life, that you have no stability, no anchor to hold you in place. That is exhausting. And people are constantly following the foolishness of this world or the foolishness of false gospels. Even people that profess faith, that have been believers a long time, will go to a church not so that they can be shaped into the image of God, not so that they can be edified and built up, not so they can be convicted of their sins, but so they can enjoy the great band and enjoy the great atmosphere and hear a great motivational speech that does nothing to make them more like Jesus, but does a lot for their own self-image and self-confidence. That does a lot in teaching them how to use God to get rich and famous and be free of struggles. That is not what we need. That leads to a very, very weak church. We do not need world-centered gospel. We need Christ-centered gospel that's founded on Jesus Christ, the Holy Messiah, the Son of God. That is what we need. A church where brothers and sisters use those gifts of grace to build up their other brothers and sisters, where they walk alongside them using those gifts, and those alongside them see that and want to be like them. And we use those grace gifts to hold each other accountable, to say, you're living a life that is not in agreement with God's word. To say, sister, that gossip has got to stop. That accountability is what we need. That builds up the body. Simply letting everybody do whatever they want and not pursuing God's will for our lives, that will never strengthen the church. And we will never be the church God has called us to be. The church Jesus talks of in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, where he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Only a built-up church can do that. We cannot be salt and light if we keep letting the world impact our lives, impact our beliefs. We must be men and women that exhort one another with the truth of the gospel, that live that truth out in front of one another. And as we do that together, we all grow in our abilities to live out the truth in love. And then we become worthy of being called the body of Christ. But it takes every part of the body of Christ working together in love to build the church internally and externally. And that's what the world needs to see. They need to see the difference that Christ makes. They need to see a church that's building itself up in love because of Christ. They need to see the light and taste the salt so that God can draw them to Himself as they see the power of the gospel at work in you. And Jesus will always do His part. He will always do His part. He has given us gifts. He's empowered us with the Spirit to use them. He's given us leaders to show us how and where to use them. And now it's on us. Now it's on us. Are you ready for action? Are you ready to put your gift to work and build up the body? Are you ready to stop screaming about everything that's wrong with the world and actually do something about it? Your gift, it does not matter how old you are. If you have professed Christ, whether you're 7 years old or 87 years old, Your gift is valid. There is no expiration date on your gifts. There's no retiring its use. God has called each one of us to use our gifts until He calls us home. That's what it takes to continue building this church. So are you doing your part to help this church and the global church become fit for the body of Christ? Our world is suffering. It is broken. And it needs to see a church built up and united around Jesus, the hope of the world. When the world looks at us, they need to see Jesus. When the world looks at you, they need to see Jesus. Are you ready to do your part? Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, You've given us so much. And we know that Your Son poured out His life for us. And how dare us, Father, not be willing to pour out our life for Your glory. To be used up so that at the end of our lives we stand and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Father, I pray that the hearts of those that are here are desirous for that, that they don't simply give lip service to the gospel, that they have been overcome by it, empowered by it, and that they live for it, so that the truth of God's word may go forth and draw others to You. Father, I pray that if there's salvation that needs to come to one today, that, Father, in this moment they've heard the call of God, they have seen the reality of their sinfulness, that they have repented of that sin, and, Father, they now stand as a child of God, ready to use their gifts for Your glory. And I pray if there are men and women in here that their gifts have been marred by sin, that they would repent, that they would fall on their faces before the cross of Christ, and be lifted back up and commanded to go out and work again. Father, we love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.